This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yesterday I was saying Sam and I are like the Peaches and Herb song, Reunited.
Yeah.
And
we'll be back.
We'll be back together next week?
Yes.
Maybe.
I hope so.
Well, I do too, but you never know around here. So you never know. You know, things are in flux all the time.
Yep.
So I'm enjoying being paroled here for a weekend.
It's good to have you back on this side of the glass.
We, believe it or not, here on this May 26th are going to talk a little football.
Yeah.
Little football. Not a lot, but a little football.
But some, because we've had some football happening.
OTAs with D. Orlando Ledbetter. Later on, Sam gets to spread his wings and talk French Open tennis.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's going on. And get you set also for some – we talked IndyCar. We got NASCAR happening today as well. So, I mean, it's a big racing day. We're less than an hour away from the start of the F1 race, Monte Carlo. Wouldn't you love to be in Monte Carlo?
No.
Why not?
Because I ain't got the money to be in Monte Carlo. Being in Monte Carlo and doing Monte Carlo right are two different things. And – you got to have some cash if you're going to hang out in Monte Carlo and do it right. You can't go there and just be like
and
us.
Just be there.
You want to be there like James Bond.
Okay.
You know, have the tux and the Aston Martin and get out and, you know, have all kinds of money in your pocket. You can't do it like that. What's the point?
Okay. Well,
That's what I look at. Jay-Z and Beyonce do Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson does Monte Carlo. Clooney does Monte Carlo. Me and you.
Yeah,
we'd be parking cars there. that would be us.
You imagine what the tips are like over there, though.
Yeah, then we'd have to convert it. It wouldn't be much of a step back to America. But big happenings last night. The Toronto Raptors closed down Milwaukee, and for the first time in the NBA's history, there will be a finals north of the border.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And us talking about this morning, you haven't told me one way or the other who you like so far. I mean, should I assume it's Golden State?
Yeah. I don't think this team. To me, Toronto still would have been a better matchup for Golden State. I mean, just
you mean
like
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee would have been a better.
Did
matchup.
Did you see Toronto beating Milwaukee?
No.
All right, then. So why can you just definitively say that you think that these guys are going to beat Golden State?
Because of the way Golden State is put together. Golden State is just put together differently, and we thought we saw something different in this Milwaukee, and I think we did. It's just like Denver. Denver would have been a better match for Golden State than Portland, but Portland. Portland won the series, so Portland got the chance to play them. And I think the same thing. Toronto has earned the right to play them.
Right.
But I think because of their makeup, Milwaukee just would have been a better matchup for them. You know, the Milwaukee team now, they're probably so shook after what's happened with Toronto. I don't know how they play against them. If you got Milwaukee right after they beat Boston, that would have been a team I don't think Golden State wanted to play. They looked so confident and looked like they had all the bases covered. They look like it.
And then
some things came undone, and it just got unraveled, and some things got exposed.
The adjustments were made, and they put Leonard on Giannis, and things happened from there. It started to unravel from there. But we always hear about, when it comes to these big games, despite what the records show, it's about matchups. Why do you get frustrated when this Brave team, it's like with the Braves, they take care of business with the teams they really need to, and then when they come up with a doormat, they get beat by them. It makes you scratch your head.
Cincinnati.
And it's like matchups. Why is it that these guys can't get over that dude or this particular team?
I know. You think that, but I just think and if Golden State was going to play Milwaukee, that Milwaukee team, not this Milwaukee team, but if they're going to play that Milwaukee team without Kevin Durant, they might have lost.
See, that's the other X factor. We don't know what's that. I mean, there's speculation about what the injury is.
I think they're doing fine without him right now.
Oh, I do too.
And just like you said yesterday.
I'm rooting for them without Kevin Durant.
It's a chance for the guys on that team to say, hey, we were doing this before you got here. And I think that's what we see. I think that may have been even a little bit more of the motivation for some folks. Not going into their locker room. I'm not in their locker room. I don't know what they say or how they feel. But I can imagine some people in that locker room would say, yeah, let's go out here and handle business.
Well, no, they have said it. Draymond said it. He don't care. He no. has said it. And he listen, that was part of the beef when they got into it earlier in the season. That was very visible. That very visible back and forth that they tried to squash. We know what came out of Draymond's mouth. Listen, we don't need you here. We did this already. That's already been documented. That's been talked about. But I'm not going to stand here, and we talked about this yesterday too, in that I don't believe that they're a better team without Kevin Durant. Obviously, this guy's arguably the best player in the league.
Right, right.
So
right.
obviously they're going to be better. But him not being there and Golden State winning is for those who are on the side of, you know, Durant, that was the weakest move you could have pulled, and going and joining this team after they had you and so on and so forth. You had them down 3-1, and then they came back. That whole Kevin Durant going to Golden State scenario that there are a number of people who have a problem with are enjoying this right now, meaning this Golden State team excelling the way they are minus him.
Well, we've seen it before.
But you know what?
That's no surprise. We've seen this before with the Golden State team.
If we thought that he was going to stay with this team, that it might be different. But we know that he's going to be gone. At least we believe that. There's already speculation about where he's going to land, and he's not squashed that. So we all figure, with free agency, he's going to go.
He gets a little prickly when you ask him about it.
He gets prickly about a lot of things. He gets prickly about a whole lot of things. But that's where I think the jump-off is. They're playing well without him. This is not somebody who you believe is going to – excuse me, basketball fans believe is going to come back to this team. So he used them to get his rings. Now he's moving on. And a lot of people got a problem with that.
Well, the question is whether or not he's available for this series. And also, Boogie Cousins, who they feel a lot of people say in his workouts, he looks like he's more ready to come back. Now, the thing of it is, he's got a rust factor. He's got a condition factor. If you could play Boogie Cousins right now, would you? Would he hurt you more than he help you is what I'm saying.
No, because I'll tell you, I take this stance. If he were going to play, and from Golden State standpoint, he's a handful of fouls he could take as opposed to one of the other players who you may need more. So you bring Boogie in. If he's got that rust, and he's not Boogie Cousins, the basketball player that we know and love, and got all kinds of game, and he wants to come and contribute, be that guy who goes in there and gets a bunch of fouls, and then, you know, you get him out, as opposed to having other players take him.
So you're going to make him be Bill Winnington?
Yes.
Nah, I wouldn't want Boogie Cousins.
You don't
want to
rely
Winnington.
On him. I mean,
you're not going to put him in any place where you rely on him, but if you're going to play him for like 8 to 10 minutes, I think you come in and you run a couple of sets for him, you know, in low post and see what he can do. And since he's come back and he's healthy and he's joined your team, like you said, he's not somebody you're looking at to get you over the top.
No, but he can come in and disrupt and throw a monkey wrench in the Kawhi's game for a few minutes.
Right.
And that might be enough. That might be enough. And that's really what – if you're going to – I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things that these guys use certain players for. I mean, you had guys coming in. We watched it with Hack-a-Shaq. Go in there and foul Shaq. Take him out of his game for a little bit. And it worked.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how I see if he were to come in to, you know, at least initially – get his feet wet, go in there. We want you to disrupt Kawhi for a little bit. I mean, I could see that scenario happening.
That may be the thing. So you would play him?
If he's ready,
he's back as healthy and ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he's ready.
That's what I think. I mean, if he's back and healthy, he's ready to contribute. He's on the team, drawing a check, play him. You know, you're not going to have him go out and start and play a whole lot of minutes, but I think that's you do want to have him come in and contribute. If he's worked hard to get himself back in condition, finals.
I don't know.
And that's the reason why he came to the team as well.
Exactly. I don't know if I can hang my hat on anybody else that I really want to watch. Kawhi's going to be what he's done. He's already got a finals MVP, right? We know what Steph can do. We know what Draymond can do. We know what Durant can do if he plays. The dude I'm going to watch, and to me, at least right now, that is the most exciting person to watch is Klay Thompson, because he got a very visible chip on his shoulder.
Yeah,
about being excluded from those three all NBA teams and leaving $30 million on the table.
Yeah,
so that's the dude. If I'm you know ABC/ESPN, I'm making sure I got one camera on Klay Thompson. Okay, and by the way, is Durant? I haven't seen him visible when they've been on the road during this time. I mean, I know he's there. I don't know if he sits and watches him during in the locker room because he don't want to take any stuff from people while he's out in the stands. But have you seen him supporting a team while you know when they were on the road?
He's there, and I mean, he does some.
I know he's there. I've seen him when they, you know, during halftime when they go back to the locker room or whatever. But during the game, I haven't seen many shots of him like at the end of the bench.
So you think he's kind of just staying out of the way?
Maybe. Yeah. You know he's going to get an earful.
Well, maybe. Yeah. You know, just on the road. I mean, we're curious to see what he gets to hear, you know, this week when they go there and start the final series.
You think that if he comes out and sits on the bench, that Drake is not going to focus on him and get under his skin, even though he's not playing?
Yeah.
He's going to go after him, and he's going to go after – I would see him going after him and Draymond. Because Draymond, obviously, because of the emotional roller coaster that he goes through, maybe trying to push one of his buttons. But he going after Durant. And he probably deputized a whole bunch of people in the stands to annoy.
Deputize?
Yeah. You know, because that's Drake's arena, right? Basically, he runs all. He's the wizard in that place.
They play twice during the regular season, and the Raptors did win both games.
Yeah.
Both games. So it all starts Thursday night, game one. At Toronto, they go Thursday, Sunday, then Wednesday, Friday of the following week at in Golden State. So we got these games.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. And see, you have been one of these that you didn't like. You kind of had a negative outlook on the finals because you kind of figured you knew what was going to happen. Actually, in preseason, you'd say that. We already know who's going to win it. So you didn't really care because you always thought Golden State was going to come away with the victory.
Pretty much feeling that way.
Yeah.
And the way I'm feeling right now, okay, we got to get these games. My thing is what comes next. Because that's, to me, that's, yeah, we got to be playing the games. We want to crown a champion. But to me, the stuff that's going to happen afterwards is, to me, could be just as exciting or if not more exciting or more newsworthy to me. Because all the players we've talked about, who's going to end up where and why and how they end up there. I think that's the thing we're curious to see and can't wait to see. Can't remember a time when the NBA had so much of this going on.
No, never. This offseason is going to be unique.
It really is. It's going to be an offseason that's going to keep them on the front page for weeks. It really will. We'll probably on through the start of NFL training camp. In the NBA is going to be out there. Things are going to be happening with guys shifting around.
Does everybody wait to see where Durant lands first? Is he the first peg that falls? Is it Jimmy Butler? Is it Kawhi? I mean,
it could be Kawhi, depending on how this series goes.
See, now that's the other thing too. How much does this series play into what happens in the offseason? I personally don't think it's much, but because I think at least the top tier guys have an idea, even though they haven't said anything, they have an idea where they're going. But if Durant leaves Golden State, what happens if another top player, not those top tier, but somebody else comes to Golden State and fills a void? Iguodala's going to be, you know, he's another one you got to watch because he's kind of dinged up.
Yep.
And he's that guy, like Van Fleet has been for Toronto, who is the X factor. Anyway, we're not done talking about this, but we're going to talk a little football up next. And we'll get D-Led's take on this race that these NFL players have got coming up. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
It's been awesome having Free back on the field and seeing him go back to look like himself. It's been a long time to see the energy that he brings. It's been good.
I feel good just to be out here running around, having fun. It's just fun. Just having fun running around, like, bring me back to my memories when I was a young kid, playing in the middle of the field. It's just fun just to be out here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Told you we were going to talk a little football. Coach Dan Quinn and Devontae Freeman.
Just free. Just good to have Free back.
Okay. Well, why don't you finish here?
No. Go ahead.
I've been talking too much anyway.
Come on back in here.
Come back from where?
Because you're on this side of the glass, man. Today, we're glad to have you here.
Anyway, yeah. as we talk a little Falcons football, OTA's going on. And, well, just the fact that we're talking football, we have to bring in the voice.
Yeah, we do.
We got to bring in the man.
Yeah, he is.
And then it's like off season. I picture him there, no bow tie on, and just chilling, trying to figure out how he's going to spend his Memorial Day weekend. D. Orlando Ledbetter, it is a pleasure talking to you in off season, man.
Good morning, Greg and Sam. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And, of course, you know, things were busy up at Flowery Branch this week. As you always say, well, they don't have any bads on, but still there's some things that you can see. And, first of all, we just heard from one person, Devontae Freeman. What was it like just to see him back on the field and healthy?
Yeah, it was different. He's, you know, only played two games last season, trying to come back after two, you know, down seasons for himself. It was good to see him back in front of the running back group. That was the big key, was that he was out in front trying to lead everybody as he returns from a bumpy offseason. So, you know, he's young guy, 27. It's no thing about, you know, whether he's worn down or not. So he should be able to make it all the way back to Pro Bowl status. And I know they're happy about that, to get his playmaking ability back out on the field.
D-Lynn, I'm going to mention a couple names to you. You just talked about Freeman. I'm going to mention a couple more to you. And I want you to give me a little bit on these guys. And there's a reason I mentioned them. Vic Beasley, Tank McKinley, Isaiah Oliver, and DeMonte KZ. These are guys who are, according to those in the know with the Falcons, these are guys who have to prove something during this offseason as they prepare during OTAs. What are your thoughts on what you think? And then, by the way, am I leaving out a name or two?
Yeah, no question about it. You know, of course, Vic is obvious. You know, he hasn't gotten sacked. He was drafted to get to the quarterback, and he hasn't done that the last 2 years, and he's not there practicing with the team. So, they'd like to have him there and getting him ready, working on some new techniques and new alignment. So they're a little disappointed. I won't come out and say it, that he's not there working to better himself with the team. He is probably working somewhere else, training on his own. He has a list of things to improve on. But the Falcons would, you know, like to be hands-on with that. Tack is there. He's working at some of his new alignments. They put him at some linebackers. So, you know, they're trying to find ways to help these guys get to the quarterback. He got into a nice little fight there with Luke Stocker. So you like to see that. Hope they don't get fined for it. It's supposed to be non-contact drills. But, just two guys going real hard. KZ and Oliver, those are two position changes. So that makes sense, too. Oliver looked good in spurts, but got beat and looked bad at times, too, last year. And I'm talking about the Bengals game where he gave up the winning touchdown in Pittsburgh where, he gave up a touchdown to, you know, it was Antonio Brown. So, not going to hold that against him. But, can he be a full-time right outside cornerback? You know, they drafted him to be one. We're going to find out here. And we'll know a whole lot by the game four. Not so worried about KZ. Doesn't think he has anything to prove. He did that last year. He's just moving to a different spot. So those four guys, that's the situation with those four. And, of course, you know, the other two major ones is can they, you know, whenever you bring rookies into the league, even if they're first-round picks, you don't know if they can really play. They've been playing against guys their own age. In their early 20s, how are they going to do against grown men from, are very strong and have been around the block? And, how can they do that from week to week on a high level? So, you know, of course, the rookies, Chris Lindstrom and Caleb Brown, will get a lot of attention here in the offseason and early in the NFL season.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with D. Orlando Ledbetter from AJC and AJC.com. The thing I think a lot of people want to know, too, is health status. We lost a lot of pieces on the defensive side of the ball early last season. Everybody coming back healthy there, because we think that's one of the keys to this team being able to do what they have the potential to do. We know things on the offensive side, D-Led, but we got to stop some folks, and we lost some of the big hitters early last season.
Yeah, no question about it, Sam. And two things. When one came out of the open session on Thursday was that Julio and Deion Jones weren't there also, and Coach said they were rehabbing, and we didn't know about any surgeries. Maybe Julio's just maintaining his body, and it wasn't no surgery. But, you know, we know he's had a lot of injuries over the years. And Deion, you know, of course, he came back from that broken foot. He wasn't 100% at the end of the season, so I'm pretty sure he's still working on that. But, you know, no new or confirmed surgery. And then, you know, Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen, those are two big ones. Keanu, left knee, reconstructive ACL surgery. And then Ricardo Allen, the Achilles, left Achilles heel. And we did a story on those guys yesterday on AJC.com. They're about a month each away, so I don't expect to see them until training camp. And then the knee is a little bit more, predictable. He should be fine. With Ricardo, they're going to have to go slow on his return. That Achilles, according to the doctors that we talked to, there's a 6% chance that you can blow the other one. And, the speed and the flexibility doesn't just come back automatically. It takes time, even after the 6 to 8 months recovery. So he's a guy that they need to get somebody ready to play at free safety, so they can ease him back into the operation. Keanu should be able to go right away, but Ricardo's the one I'm more concerned about, as I talked to, not the team doctors. The Falcons don't make those available to us, so we have to go outside and get our own medical experts. And I got people in L.A. and New York that are with other teams that have been through these surgeries and have a history and information that is pertinent to the recovery from that particular injury.
The Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, Dirk Cutter's back running the offense. Coach Dan Quinn taking over the defense. For Falcons fans, is there going to be a significant difference with those two guys at the helm coming up in the season?
Oh, yeah, no question about it, Greg. And one thing that Matt Ryan said, and I wanted to follow up. I mean, sometimes he drops stuff and, hey, did he just throw Sarkisian under the bus here? And he said the disappointing thing for him last year was that, when things weren't going great with the offensive line up front, and people were dictating to them that, they weren't able to adjust. And, so with Dirk Cutter, a guy who's been, calling plays in the league for, a long time, he feels they'll be able to adjust even when teams are able to take some of their things away. And he might not have intended to throw Sarkisian under the bus, but, from that comment, that tells me that, hey, he might not have been happy with how things were called and how things went. And if he's not happy, that's probably why Sarkisian is back at Alabama now.
Spend your time on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning with D. Orlando Ledbetter. You can always follow him on Twitter at D. Orlando AJC, at D. Orlando AJC. One player I wanted to bring up, because a lot of people have asked me about running game and how we're going to finish drives. And I'm thinking, we got this big guy we got from Pitt. Talk about Olison. You're seeing him there. And his size, the roles you feel you think he should be able to assert himself into with this team.
Yeah, we talked to the running back coach on Wednesday, Coach Brock. And, he liked Allison a lot. He's doing everything he needs to do. He's big, he's fast, he can be a short yardage back. They think he can catch the ball, too. So that would make him a three-down guy, which, would be great, so it won't be predictable what they're going to do when he's in the game. But he also had kind words for Brian Hill, who did a great job at the end of the season last year. He said, all you got to do is go on production, and he produced. He did have a fumble last year. So, between those two guys, Ito Smith and Demonte Freeman, the Falcons appear to be in great shape at running back. So, even though Tevin Coleman left and went to the 49ers, Olison is a bigger back, short yardage guy. They think he can catch. If he can, that's a major bonus. And then I don't know, do you keep Brian Hill still? But they're going to run the ball, and they need to reestablish their running game. So, maybe Brian Hill could do enough to keep his job. But they have some options in the backfield now, and you always like to have that, Sam.
Hey, That's a fine. if you've not heard, what do you think about this race that's going on amongst the NFL players? You know about this, D-Led?
No, I don't, Greg.
There is
kind of watching the basketball here, but I haven't been able to keep up with the racing stuff.
Okay, well, there is actually I've been doing the same thing, but yet it fell into my lap. There is a new competition, and they're looking for the fastest player in the NFL, and it's going to be a part of a new competition, and it's going to happen next month. They're going to 12 offensive players and 12 defensive players are going to compete head to head. I mean, everybody from Alvin Kamara to Ted Ginn Jr. The list is up on I guess the four-letter network, they had it posted up there. But you can see the list of the players. This is going on, and it just kind of takes you back to when Sam and I were talking about when Deion came in and famously, took his shoes off and ran the 40. And these guys are going to run a 40, by the way. Sam's got a problem with that. He said, if you're going to do this, why don't you just run 100 yards or 100 meters? But they're going to
well,
do
it. Well, that
Go ahead.
Oh, no, Greg, that reminds me back when they used to have the Superstars competition.
Exactly.
On, with O.J. Simpson and then way, way back in the day. And, I like it. You know, it's a good way. I wouldn't want my guys out there doing it. But then it also reminds me of a former Georgia tailback, Robert, I'm drawing a blank on last name, played for the Patriots, Edwards.
Edwards, yeah.
Yeah, tore his knee up in the sand out there in Hawaii.
That's
doing
right.
These things. So, yeah, I want some insurance. It's got to be a lot of money. For a guy like Ted Ginn, that's not on a high pay level guy, but he's been in the league a long time. And I did see his comments, but I didn't follow it up. I didn't know it got this serious. But yeah, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that, Greg. I'm with Sam. I don't want my guys getting hurt doing some stupid stuff in the offseason.
Can I ask both of you this? Well, you and I can talk about this afterwards. I'm sorry if you had a question, because I got to get D-Led's thoughts on this.
Go ahead.
Sum up Pac-Man Jones's career. He retired the other day, and when you think about him and you talk about his career to other people, what do you say?
Oh, he was, a top 10 pick. I remember talking to him early in his career at Westlake when, it was real controversial. Didn't know if he was going to make it. It's just a really tough background and a couple red flags there early on in his career. But he matured and was able to, play in the league at a high level for a long time. I used to talk with Marvin Lewis about him, annually in the off season about how is he doing. He's growing up and, they tried to put people around him and in place to help him with, some of his, anger or attitude issues. So, kind of was happy to see he was able to get his career in and grow up and, be able to contribute. I know I was at his camp and he was trying to do the right thing for the kids there. So, I wish him the best. He had a great career, probably not a Hall of Fame career, but he was a very fine player that could cover receivers and did a great job in the face of, what looked like a major climb up the hill here. But he did it, and, wished him best of luck here in retirement.
Yeah, one of our hometown folks. D-Led, thanks so much for spending some time
with us
on this holiday weekend. Always great to catch up with you, man.
All right, Sam and Greg, you all take care. Thanks for having me. See my man Greg doing these commercials and stuff. He's gonna be big here real soon.
I got another one coming out. I shot this past week. I'll tell you about that when we speak next, because I can't say nothing now.
All right, my man. Let's do it, Greg.
I appreciate it, D-Led. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Take care.
All right, listen, when we come back, would you talk about Pac-Man and your experience with him?
Sure.
Because I know that you have a connection with him, and you go back to him from high school too. So anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. I love talking to D-Led, getting a little up-to-date things on what
We didn't get to ask him what he had on the grill this weekend, though, man. D-Led might have, D-Led might have something special on the grill.
I can't deviate. I got to keep talking sports. I haven't been here for a month.
Okay.
So if I start going and talking about food and other stuff, I'll just get all sideways and we'll get a call. And I just don't need that in my life.
Okay. It was a holiday weekend, and we passed along information on events.
We're going to get to that in just a minute, too.
Okay.
We're going to get to that. But We finished up, and I wanted to ask D-Led a question about this guy's career, and that, of course, Pac-Man Jones. If you didn't hear, he officially retired just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there is obviously the connection here in town. And you and I brought his name up a few weeks ago, and you just sort of went off on, not in a bad way, I mean, you're just, memories started flowing back. You remember back when he was high school, and I haven't asked you this. And so this guy who's had a career that's worthy of all manner of conversations on and off the field, now that it's shut down, what are your thoughts on Pac-Man's career?
Wow. You know what? It started out just like D-Led said. It started out kind of bumpy and kind of rough. And I think a lot of things went into play there. A lot of things that people may have known or may not have known just about his background and situation. Losing someone who was this guiding force in his life, who was his grandmother, while he was still in college, and not having that voice, that kind of guiding voice around him as he goes and changes into this different level of his life, coming to this professional athlete. And not saying that's the reason why some things happened that happened, but sometimes when you don't have that voice that you're going to hear somewhere, and wherever you are, you're going to straighten up and turn around and look. Sometimes not having that, and if you don't have somebody else to step into that void and be that person, you can end up in some places that you shouldn't be. And it seemed like that happened to him quite a bit in his days up in Tennessee with the Titans. Still very talented on the field, just as talented, you know, on the field. The field was the sanctuary. That was a safe place for him. You know, off the field was where things would happen. And he had to figure some things out that, you know, sometimes you're out and you're known, you're a bit of a target, and if some people can come up and initiate something.
Push them buttons.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But did that happen early on? Because, I mean, you remember him here, right? Did you see him play
here? I remember Westlake High School on Friday nights.
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody loved playing for Friday nights more than Pac-Man Jones. Nobody. I mean, and I was out at Westlake for a spring game a week ago. And I was mentioning, I said, you guys not frying any fish out here, are you? Because that's one thing I know I go to Westlake High School for a football game on Friday night. I was going to see Pac-Man or Cam or one of those guys, but I'm going to get me a fried fish sandwich to take back to the station. And I asked the coach, I said, Coach, they had like a food truck and some different stuff. I said, nobody frying no fish out here, Coach. I said, yeah, we're probably. When I come to Westlake, I expect to have some fried fish. So anyway, that's what I always, fried fish, Pac-Man would run a punt back for a touchdown, get an interception. I mean, he loved playing Friday nights and coming up with big plays. The thing about him in the latter stages of his career, you know, he avoided the stuff off the field. Sometimes on the field you hear about him doing some things, you know, kind of. But I think you never question his intensity and his desire to win and his versatility. He's still a great return guy.
Right.
He's still a great return guy as well. So we wish him all the best and what he's going to do, you know, in his retirement. Don't know if he's going to be here locally, if he's going to stay in Cincinnati.
Well, D-Led mentioned about one a camp that he has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when that's held or where that's held. Is it out at Westlake?
It may be at Westlake. It may probably Westlake, or it may be in the rec league what he played with, I believe, going all the way back, which was Sandtown, I think, was the rec center, the rec community that he played in out there. So that's going all the way back. If he goes back there, that would be great to go back and give to those young people. Because those are his roots, and that's where he came from.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. One of the things that we promised you throughout the show today as we get ready for Memorial Day tomorrow, but all weekend long there are a number of events going on around the city, and we're just going to tell you about a couple and in different genres. We're talking about some artsy stuff last hour. This is, I don't know what category this would fall under.
Is
maybe
something
just
inside.
Other fun of, no.
It's
well,
outside.
Yeah.
Something inside. It's something with
MomoCon.
At least with some, oh, yeah, yeah.
MomoCon's going on, man. World Congress Center.
They got some gaming going on.
Exactly. Brew at the Zoo. You know about that?
Brew at the Zoo.
Brew at the Zoo, adults-only event. Features live music, more than 70 selections of cold brews and wine, and, of course, access to the zoo's animal attractions.
Really?
That's going on, man.
That is fantastic.
And, of course, the Georgia Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
So, events going on all over the city. You got your fingers
I
up.
Got, right? I got one thing to talk about. You know, because we would normally have Bo on the other side of the glass with us. You know, we have Ken on the other side of the glass. Bo, of course, is at the A-Town Touchdown. This is the Madden tournament. Remember, he was been involved with the production of those. That's happening today. The A-Town, C4 Madden 19 A-Town Touchdown Series, the Grand Championship is going to be going on today. And it's going to be taking place. Oh, where's the place they got it at?
You're supposed to have that information.
I know. It Access Replay, downtown Atlanta. That's live at Access Replay. 2:00 today. And Jets great, former Jets great, Bart Scott will be there. Larry Ridley's going to be calling it. And Bo Johnson will be involved with interviewing the winners. That big money they're playing for down there, Big Madden tournament there at Access Replay in Atlanta today.
So if you just tune in, we're talking to D-Led last segment, I mentioned this new event that, and it's not sanctioned by the NFL, so we can't say the NFL is putting this together, but it's full of, it's all NFL players.
Which makes me wonder if it's actually going to come off. Because you're talking something that's close to training camp time, and the NFL is not sanctioning it. Well, I'm just saying, in the past we have had events where guys participate, but the off seasons weren't what the off seasons are now.
All right. Well, let me just tell you, in case you hadn't heard, they're looking for the fastest player in the NFL. It's going to be on the line as part of a new competition slated for next month. From the Saints running back Kamara and receiver Ted Ginn Jr. to I'm not going to go through all the names, but you've got 12 defensive players, 12 offensive players. Winner of each division are going to face off in a final with the title of the fastest player at stake. Now, D-Led brought up going back to, the superstars competitions from back in the day.
Yeah.
And as you said, there's a lot of money at stake and a lot of insurance policies that would have to be checked to see if these guys could do it. But fan voting will determine the seeding for the tournament. Voting will conclude Sunday, after which the matchups will begin and be announced. This thing takes off. This is another revenue stream, whether it's for the NFL or not. I see this thing moving from city to city.
Well, if the NFL can make money off of it. Right now, I don't hear NFL making money off of it.
Not yet. I haven't heard a shoe company either.
Or who's going to broadcast it.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Will it be on the NFL Network?
Or will it
be pay-per-view?
Keep tuned. We will let you know. Hey, listen, the chance for some jobs coming up. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get back to some of the NBA playoff action going on. Talk about the Indy 500. But next, it's a casting call. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.